Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
I heard a story probably 6, 7, 8 years ago. Someone preached, and he was preaching on listening for the voice of God, and that's my message tonight. I really felt God moved to talk about what is it to listen to God's voice. And it's something which I've had many conversations with people about for myself, and people have come and talked to me about how I listen to God's voice. And it's probably the number one thing I think so many of us at times struggle with, because we doubt ourselves, do we actually listen to God's voice? And one day a guy, as he preached about it, said something which he had heard about. I've never been able to validate if this is a true story, so I'll put that out there now. But even if it's not, the truth behind the story is actually quite incredible. Apparently, it might be 10, 12 years ago, a group of Marines, US Marines, were in a helicopter, and they took off in full gear. I'm not sure if they were in combat or if it was a training mission, but they were in full combat gear, and they took off from the army base. And the helicopter got 30 feet, maybe 20, 30 feet off the ground, and all of a sudden, for some unknown reason, one of the Marines in full combat gear just jumped out of the helicopter. He fell down and broke both legs and did quite a lot of internal injury, but survived. I don't know how high you have to be before you don't, but he survived it. And the helicopter didn't stop. They went on and did the mission. Well, the mission wasn't successful. The helicopter crashed at some stage and all 20 of them were killed. Give or take, I'm not sure it was 20, but along those lines. Anyway, after all that happened, when he was in hospital, obviously the Army or Marines have a post-mortem to see what's going on. And why did he jump out? And they interviewed him in the hospital and said, well, why did you jump out? And he answered, because God said, get out now. So I did. And I would love to see when he wrote that down on their book, get out now, and he did. But he said, well, why did God speak to you, not to anybody else? And the response from the Marine, I think, is beautiful and perfect. He said, I'm sure God spoke to everybody else, but they just didn't recognize his voice. And I think there's so much truth in that, is that God does speak to us, but we don't always recognize his voice. And I suppose tonight, I just want to share a little bit about my own journey with that, because, and I'll be honest, I'm still working it out. Please, I'm not saying I'm an expert at it. But I think it's so important that we do recognize that God speaks to us. And everyone hears God's voice. And I'd even dare to say, I believe non-Christians will hear God's voice speak. I just don't realize it's God speaking to them. Sometimes it's our imagination, we think it is, or sometimes we think it's just some ideas pop into our head. As I look back on my own life, I know there's times in my own life, even as a 6 or 7 year old, I vividly remember hearing God speak, but didn't realise it was God speaking. It was only later on, as I started to put the pieces together, as I grew up, I thought, oh my goodness, God actually said that. I remember him saying something like that. So I want to talk about tonight, what is it to listen to God's voice? And like I said to you, it's really important that I believe we all hear God's voice speak. And I'm not here to talk tonight about prophecy. That's not what this is all about. Yes, prophecy obviously works hand in hand with listening to God speak, absolutely. But I'm not talking about the gift of prophecy. I'm talking about every one of us hearing God speak. And I really make sure that's really clear to all. John 10 verse 1 to 5 says the following. Now this portion of scripture, there's so much you can unpack with that, but there's a couple of points I particularly want to use tonight. And it says this, very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. I'll say that again, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them out, all his own, he goes on ahead of them and his sheep follow him. Why? Because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Now, as I said, there's a lot you can unpack from this portion of scripture, but in particular, it's verse 3 and 4 I really want to stress. And the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And like I've already said, and his sheep follow him because they know or they recognize his voice. And the key points I want to pull out of that first is this. We're the sheep. We are the sheep God's talking about right here. We are his sheep. The second point is Jesus is the gate. Further on in the same chapter, verses 7 to 10, Jesus says this. Therefore, Jesus said again, very, very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. So Jesus is the gate for us. We know that no one comes to the Father but by Jesus. He is the gate. And the third point I want to really stress is Jesus is also the shepherd. Because in the same chapter, in 14 to 16, and I love this portion of scripture, I'll talk a bit more about it in a second, but it says this, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. And listen to this next line, which I think is incredibly powerful. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. That's where Jesus is prophesying about impacting the Gentiles. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. But think about this for a minute. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. But listen to this next line again. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. What perfect relationship can we see in the Father and the Son? They are perfectly united all the time. There's never any broken unity there. They are one. And God, Jesus is saying right here, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, we can have that same relationship with Jesus. That's how intimate Jesus wants to walk with us. It's not just sort of some pie, random sky type of thing. Oh, this sounds really good. This is the truth. Jesus wants to walk with us as closely as he walks with his Father. I don't know about you, but I can't get my head around that sometimes. The amazing love he must have for us, that he wants to walk with us each and every day. And they too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. We have all been brought together as one. There's no separate church. God's not looking for separate churches. He's looking for one flock and one sheep, and we will have one shepherd. And that's such an important thing to do and to understand. So God wants to have an intimate relationship with us. He wants to talk to us, and he wants us to listen and hear his voice and to follow him. So why would Jesus use an allegory like that to help explain our relationship with him and recognising his voice? And I came across this fantastic YouTube clip, which I think sums it up perfectly. And it's about, they did this experiment with a flock of sheep, and they got people to go and use the same call that the shepherd uses to bring the flock in. And you watch and see what happens. It's an amazing clip to watch. And I've watched it a few times, and it always just blows me away as you think about it in relation to this. Could you play the clip for me, please?
One more time.
Amazing clip, isn't it? Perfect example of what the scripture is talking about. The sheep know the shepherd's voice. Even though those other people were using the same call signal which he uses, they didn't even move. I think one of them stuck their head up and had a look, but just kept on eating. But as soon as the shepherd got up, they responded pretty quickly. One reason, because they knew the food was going to come probably as well. But it's an amazing clip, and that's what Jesus is trying to get across to us in this scripture. He is our shepherd, and he wants to speak to us, and that we can and will recognise his voice. There's a couple of key points I want to point out right away. So how do we actually learn or recognise listening for God's voice? I've wrestled with this at different times in my life for sure, going, God, why are you so silent? Why are you not speaking? And I think sometimes God has. I just wasn't listening very well, or I wasn't listening to what I wanted to hear. He was saying things I didn't want to hear maybe as well. But the first point I want to really point out straight away is this. If you want to start to develop listening to listening for God's voice, we need to keep our head in the scriptures. We need to keep reading his word. It is so important, and Graham and many people have preached on that over the years now, the importance of reading his word every day. It really is the truth. We need the word of God for many, many reasons, but that will help us to develop listening for the voice of God. Why? Because God's words will become our words. God's thoughts will become our thoughts. His ways aren't our ways. His thoughts aren't our thoughts. They're far higher than us, and we need to keep our mind and our spirit renewed in that word each and every day. Secondly, I think it's really important to remember too that God will never speak contrary to his word. Never. And I've had people sometimes over the years give me some, I'll be honest, some fairly unusual words. And sometimes the first thing I always listen for is, does it line up with scripture? Because if it doesn't, I respectfully have to dismiss and say, sorry, I really appreciate what you're saying, but it's not matching up with what the word of God is saying. And they're the two really important things we need to remember in listening for God's word, that we read his word every day, sorry, his voice, but we listen and that we understand that God will never speak contrary to what his word's going to say. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 to 17 says the following, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's the word of God. It's so important for us. It is there to encourage us, to teach us into righteousness and how to understand all that. But we must remember, he'll never speak contrary to his word. So I've got some points here. Some of them I've learnt from other people. Some of them are just experiences I've found myself as I've tried to develop listening for God's voice. And one thing I want to really point out is this, is God speaks to us in many different ways. How I listen to God speak could be quite different to how you hear God speak. God doesn't get put into a box and say, well, it has to be this certain way. Yes, certainly in terms of in line with scripture and those things, but God will speak to you in many, many different ways. And how I hear could be quite different to how you hear. Secondly, I actually think God speaks a bit more than what we realise. I think we sometimes dismiss how often God does speak to us because we don't recognise his voice or we're too scared to trust that, and I'll talk about that in a minute. The third point I want to say is God does want to engage in every part of our life, and therefore he will speak in every part of our life. I'll give you a classic example where God spoke when I was trying to fix my mum's chainsaw. This is a true story, and I'm not very mechanically minded. I'm quite happy for someone else to go and do it. But mum wanted me to go and do some chopping with a chainsaw, and my dad had passed away, so he wasn't around to help me out with it. And using the chainsaw was fine, but at one stage it decided to break down. I thought, oh no, here we go. So I started to pull it apart, looking like, oh yeah, I know what I'm doing. I had no idea what I was doing. And I'm not joking, probably about 45 minutes later, it's still not working. I'm going, God, this is ridiculous. I can't get this chainsaw to work. I said, what's going on? And as clear as day, had do this, this, and this. I did. 5 minutes later, it was working. Now, why would God say that when it comes to my chainsaw? Because God wants to be a part of my life in every aspect. God wants to be a part of your life in every part of your life. Not just in this part, not just in that part, every part. And we've talked about that with God, you can have it all. That's what God wants to do. He wants us to be in line with him in every part of our life. And God will talk in even how to fix a chainsaw. And I can tell you, there's no way I would have realised how to fix that. I was doing everything the opposite way to what he said to go and do. The fourth point is too, have you ever heard the phrase, God's still small voice? I'd have to say, at this stage of my life, I start to really wonder, is it really still and small? Are we trying to make it still and small? I think it comes in what I said before. I think God speaks to us more than what we realise. But if we're going to think God has a very still and small voice, that's what we're going to put it down to that level of expectation, then that's what we'll have. But if we're wanting to listen for God speak, I think God speaks a bit louder than what we realise. We just have to once again listen for it. Does it mean that there's times I'm still unsure and listening for God's voice? Absolutely. Like I said at the very start, I'm not trying to say I've got this all worked out. I haven't. Even at the moment now, I'm saying, God, what are you leading me to, or what do you want me to do, or all sorts of things. Sometimes I feel I get a very clear leading. Sometimes I'm wondering. It's something which I think we're going to continue to develop more and more as we do that. The other one too is one experience. So when it comes to, is God's voice audible? I've had that question put to me before. God does actually speak. Do I actually hear God's voice speak? 99.9% of the time, no. I'll tell you an example where I felt I did one day, and I'll tell you in a minute. But for me, it's often I just start getting words drop into my mind. I start to feel and hear different things in my mind. Sometimes I get pictures. Anyone a visual learner here? I am. I'm a visual learner. God speaks in pictures. I've seen that numerous times. I might have even seen someone and have seen a picture about them. Or my own life, God has shown me pictures about my own life at times. Once again, he's not restricted to how he wants to talk. But I will give you an example where one day I probably would say it was very close to audible, if not audible. And I remember very, very vividly. It was before Tegan and Maddie were born, and we were up in living in Mount Evelyn. I got up one Saturday morning just to spend some time with God, and my wife was still in bed asleep. It was about 6 o'clock in the morning. And I was incredibly tired. I didn't want to do it, but I thought, okay, I'll get up and do it anyway. It had been a very busy week at work. And I sat there, I started reading the Bible and started praying. And I'll be honest, my mind just wasn't there. My heart wasn't really there. I'm not sure why, but I think things were a little bit tough at that time. And I just stopped. I don't know if it was 1 minute. I don't know if it was 10 minutes. But all of a sudden, I just heard these words, "So how are you going?" That's all it was. It was that vivid, the hairs on the back of my neck went up. And I actually turned around because I thought my wife had come into the room. And I just heard the words, "How are you going?" And I did. I just started talking to God. "This is how I'm feeling." It's probably one of the best quiet times I'd had with God in a long time at that stage. And I just love how God just said, "So how are you going?" It wasn't this sort of really, "Thou sayest," that type of thing. It was just, "So how are you going?" And as I said, I'm probably still not going to say, was it audible? It was that close to it. But that's only ever happened to me once. I'd love to hear it a lot more. I really would. I'm sure we all would. John 14, verse 21 says the following: "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." And that last line, "and I will love him and manifest myself to him." I looked up the Greek for manifest. What is it actually? What's the Greek word for it? Emphangeo. And it means this: to exhibit in person or to disclose by words. So in other words, "and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will manifest myself to him by disclosing myself through words or to exhibit in person." Now, I've never seen God in person. I'd love to. And one day we will. One day we'll stand before our Heavenly Father. But I believe God wants to disclose himself through his words. He wants to speak to us. Because that's what manifest in the Greek means, emphangeo. In fact, you can break emphangeo down a little bit further than that. And it means this. You break into two parts. M means intensive, and phanio means to shine. In other words, to intensely shine. God wants to intensely shine to us. He doesn't want to hide himself away. He wants to intensely shine to us his presence and his glory. He wants to intensely shine to us and speak to us. But it's learning to trust and know that God wants to do that for us. And to listen for his voice. Does that sound like a God who wants to hide away, or God who wants to sort of hold himself back? Does it sound like a God who wants to give us 80% and leave the 20% in reserve for something else? No. It's God wanting to give us everything through speaking to us, through his word. John 18, verse 37, the second half of it says this: "Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. The thing is this: the enemy will try to use that and twist it around to go, "Well, you're not hearing God speak, are you? How do you know you're hearing God speak?" He will always try and bring doubt to us. Some of the things I've found as well in listening for God's voice is this: God will speak wherever and whenever he chooses. I think I mentioned last time I preached Sunday morning, I said something about God speaking to me behind the wheel of my car. I'm actually really serious. Probably some of the most significant moments I've listened or heard God speak to me has been driving my car. And like I said that Sunday morning, I think I should go and get a driving wheel or steering wheel stick it on my desk at home, because it seems to work really well. But it has been. I've had some amazing experiences in God where he's broken things in my life and said things to me as I've driven. So God will speak wherever and whenever he chooses. Listen for it. You could be busy at work, busy at school, shopping, going to bed, waking up. Yes, sometimes in the middle of the night, absolutely. But God will speak wherever and whenever he wants to do. And we need to make sure that we're prepared to listen for that. Because as he does that, then we start to encounter God's heart and encounter God's presence. So my encouragement to you, and I don't want to make this a very long thing tonight, I just want to sort of share what some of my experiences have been, is listen for God. Dare to listen for God. Don't let fear take away when God's speaking to you, or the doubt. That's what often I found I've had to really overcome. God, are you really saying that? Are you really speaking these words to me? One thing I've found which has been really useful is this, is write down what you feel God's been saying. Keep a journal of what you think God's been saying to you. It's such a powerful thing because later on you can look back, oh my goodness, God said that and look what's happened. And also I think it's really important is share with other people what you feel God's saying to you. It's a really powerful thing because what God says to you might be an encouragement to somebody else. I've had things at times where I've written something down and I didn't really know what it meant. But then as I've shared it later on with people, the person says, oh my goodness me, that's exactly what I'm experiencing. I didn't realise it was for them. But God has used that to encourage them. So write down and keep a journal and share those things with each other. Share them at home group, share them with your friends, share them with your family. That's what God wants us to do, is to be able to encourage each other through what we feel and what we hear God speaking to us about. That's what family is all about. And like I said, and I'll finish with this, is fear and doubt will often try to come and steal away when God speaks to us. It does. The enemy will try and stop anything he can from us having a close relationship with our Father. Don't let that fear or doubt be stolen from you. Because as you just allow it to sit in God's presence and say, God, you can speak to me and you will speak to me, he'll do that. I'm going to say too, make sure in your quiet times, take time to stop and listen. Say, God, what do you want to say? Sometimes I'll just sit there and say, God, what do you want to say right now? And I've had a pen ready in my hand. And then God just starts to speak. Write those things down. It's a relationship with God he's wanting. We know that. In every part of our life, when we know that. But he wants to speak to us personally in his own way to you and to me. And the more we do that, the more we develop that within our lives, the more you start to develop the confidence for listening for God's voice. Like I said, I'm not trying to stand here as if I'm an expert on this because I'm not. There's times I wish, gee God, I wish you'd speak louder. I still have times of that, absolutely. But God knows that. God's grace is there. He's probably speaking to me loudly. I'm just not hearing him properly at times. But God's grace is still there. But it's just a matter of going, God, I'm just going to trust. I'm just going to sit in your presence. Come and speak to me. And it's often been in the times when I felt the lowest is when probably God's spoken the loudest. Why? Because I've been desperate enough to actually slow down and listen for him. I'm very, very good at doing things in my own strength. I think I've said this before. And it's for me to slow down and stop is not always the easiest thing to do. But I'm learning more and more how to do that. But it's a matter of going, God, I can't do this. I need you to come and show me. And he will. But like I said at the very start, he'll speak to you first and foremost through his word. And I can't stress that enough. But trust that God will speak to you. Trust that God will come and say to you, hey, guess what? This is what I want to say to you. There's been times God's come and said to me just things to encourage me as a person. Don't think it has to be this really long word. It has to be sort of one page long. Anything less than that, well, that can't be God. That's not true. I actually said a word to a young girl a few years ago now in home group one night, and I thought, that's not very much to say, but God said, say it. And I said, okay. And I said to her during the home group, I said, I just feel God wants you to say you. He thinks you're really cool. She broke down to tears. I thought, oh no, what have I done? And I was really worried. And after she sort of settled down a bit, she said, wouldn't believe. I just felt this week, I felt such the worst Christian I'd ever been ever. And I thought, why would God want to love me? So God just simply said to her, he thinks you're really cool. I think that's a really cool way of encouraging someone. To me, that encourages me more than ever when you see God speak through you to somebody else. And he will. You don't have to be a prophet to encourage people with God's voice through in your own life to other people. I said that before. I'm not talking about prophecy. I'm talking about God using you to speak to other people. God speaking to you in your own personal life. Prophecy is a whole new thing, but this is about your personal relationship with God. My encouragement is this. Take the time to listen for God's voice. Take the time and be confident in yourself that God will speak to you. write those things down which you feel God says. Because you might be surprised what starts to get put together, like that jigsaw later on as you look over it later on. Share with each other what you feel God's saying. Encourage each other with what you feel God says. Because out of that, it will strengthen other people, and we as a church will be the better for it. And like I said, we are his sheep. And just like those sheep, God wants to speak and we will hear his voice. We will hear his voice. Not possibly hear his voice. We will hear his voice. And I've said that probably quite a few times tonight. And I do it because for one specific reason. Sometimes we have to keep listening and believing that. God, you will speak to me. Because he wants a personal relationship with you. It's a two-way thing. He wants you to talk to him and pray to him. He'll go and do exactly the same thing back. He'll talk back to you. But let him and take the time to do that. And trust that God will speak to you. Let's pray. Father, I just pray that tonight, Lord, what I shared, Father, would be an encouragement to all of us. That, Lord, you do speak to us. That, God, you are a personal God. You're not a God from afar. You're a personal God. A God who wants to be a part of every part of our life. Not just part of it, but every part of our life. Lord, I pray for every person here tonight, Lord, that the things I've shared would encourage us all, Lord, to listen for your voice. To know that, God, you will speak to us and help us to identify when your voice is speaking to us, Lord. Lord, you speak to us each in a personal way. Let us be able to start to develop those spiritual ears to hear your voice in our own special way and how you want to speak to us. And I pray that, God, as we go tonight, the Father, we would take the time to listen for your voice, to sit down and to simply sit in your presence like we did tonight in worship, to sit and bask in your glory, Father, and to worship you. And in the midst of that, you will come and you'll speak to us. Father, I pray for those tonight who might have doubt or fear about this. Lord, I pray that, God, you'd come and show them, God, that this is truth. Lord, your word says it in John 10, that, Father, we are your sheep and the sheep hear your voice and we will respond, which means, God, you will speak to us. And I just pray that, Father, right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to very quickly at the end, as we're doing worship, and as I said, I was certainly enjoying, I'm sure we all were, but I just really felt God want us to take a little bit of time now. If anyone would just love to have some prayer, maybe you're just feeling really tired, feeling drawn, feeling a bit worn out, that end of the year type of thing, I just feel God wants to come and just to minister. Just come and let us pray over you and let the Holy Spirit come and do whatever he needs to do in your life to encourage you. In fact, as I during the worship, I got these words, and I have no idea if it's for someone here, but I'll share them. And I just felt God said to me, I will confound the wisdom of the wise. And I thought, okay, what do you mean by that, God? And obviously God's wisdom is far higher, but didn't just stop there. Then went on and said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. I can bring hope to the hopeless. I can bring life to the lifeless. And I just felt to share that tonight, that maybe that's what you're feeling like at the moment. Are you feeling like there's not much life inside the body at the moment? Maybe you're feeling weary. Maybe you feel like there's something in your life where there isn't hope. And I just felt I'd love to take some time now, just as the music's playing, just to give people opportunity to come up, say, yeah, you know what? I just want to have God come and minister to me. Come and allow us to pray with you and let God come and do whatever he wants to go and do. So if you feel like we'd just love to have some prayer tonight, I'd just love to open up the pulpit. That's what I'm sure. Okay, Graham at the end here. Music team, want to come up and join us? It'd be great. And actually pray. And I'd just really like to, I don't know, Pat, the girl sitting next to you, I just felt God wanted me to pray for you tonight, if that's okay. Is that all right? I haven't anything specific to say, but I just felt God wanted to really just encourage you. In fact, I will say this to you, though. I just saw God's hand on your shoulder. And I just felt God wanted to really encourage you. I'm sure you probably already know this, but to let you know that God's hand is very, very heavily on you. As I saw you there, I just saw the presence of God surrounding you. Now, I know there's all things you know, but I felt God just wanted to encourage you that, hey, I am over your life right now. And maybe there's been times in your back, actually, I see it right now, there's been times in your past where you've wondered, God, are you actually there? Have you been there? There's been times it just sort of felt like God hasn't been there. God says, I've been there every step of the way. And I've been leading you down this path, and God has a lot more for you in your life down the track. But God wants us to reassure you that God's hand is over your life in a significant manner. His arms are wrapped around you really tightly, and just to reassure you that, yes, God is here and his favour is on you. So I'd love just to pray over you, if that's okay. But is that all right at the very end? But as I said, if you'd love to come up and just have some prayer, just to say, yes, God, I just need some of you again, God. I just need some encouragement back in my heart. Maybe there's something in your life where this does feel a bit hopeless. Maybe there's something where things feel like there isn't any life at the moment. Or if you just want simply prayer because you just would love that, I just invite you to come up in the minute as the worship team's leading us, and we'd love to just come and pray with you. Thank you.